Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Axis Technologies Limited, hosted by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shishir Gahoi, Investor Relations Head from Axis Technologies Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone, and I am delighted to welcome you all to the earnings call for Q2 FY 2024 and H1 FY 2024. I hope you all had an opportunity to review our press release and the investor presentation, which are available under the investor section of our website, and the same are accessible in the BSE and NSE websites. To discuss our results, we have with us our CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Arun Krishnamurthy, Mr. Mujahid Alam, CEO of Mistral, and our Group CFO, Mr. Shashidhar SK. They'll take you through our results and business performance, after which we will proceed for the question and answer session. Before we begin the conference call, I would like to mention that this conference call may contain some forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the belief, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. The actual results will differ materially, may differ materially. These statements are not guaranteeing the future performance of the company and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I will now hand over the call to our CEO and MD, Mr. Arun Krishnamurthy. Over to you, Arun.
Thank you, Shishir. Good evening, everybody. Firstly, I want to wish everybody a very happy Diwali. Welcome to our Q2 FY 2024 earnings call. Like Shishir said, I'm accompanied by Shashi, who's our CFO, and by Muju, who's our CEO for Mistral Solutions. I'm happy to address the forum today as I complete 2 years of leading Axis Cages. Time has just flown by. It actually seems like 6 months. It's been so busy. The transformative growth journey of the company in the last 2 years has been exhilarating and exciting, and as we explore and harness the opportunities ahead of us in our quest to position the company in the forefront of ER&D. Our Q2 business performance was characterized by onboarding of new customers, rejigging our senior management team, strengthening our sales team, and consolidating our newly acquired automotive business, which is AD Solutions in Germany. During the quarter, we also signed a definitive agreement to acquire 100% of EPCOgen, which is a niche solutions provider in the energy sector. These acquisitions will enhance the capabilities of Axis Cages, provide access to new geographies and new strategic clients. We have also strengthened our governance standards with the onboarding of a global controller and chief risk officer, and enhanced the depth of our board leadership. As we close the second quarter and first half of the financial year, our growth momentum continues on the back of strong order book and delivery performance in all our major verticals and business units. Just in terms of our quarterly highlights, we are privileged to report that Mr. Abid Ali has joined Axis Cages board as our chairman and non-exec director. In his distinguished career spanning over 3 decades in the technology industry, Abid has earned an enviable reputation for his expertise in aligning organizations, driving business results, and consistently leading transformation initiatives. He began his journey with TCS in 1992. In 2015, he joined Wipro as CEO and Managing Director, and under his leadership, Wipro transformed the business into a digital business. I will also take a moment to thank our previous chairman, Mr. David Bradley, for his outstanding contribution and support during his tenure in the company. In a significant milestone to expand our energy practice, the company has signed a definitive agreement to acquire 100% of EPCOgen, which, like I said, is a niche solutions provider focused on engineering, design, and solutions in the high-potential energy space. EPCOgen serves both conventional as well as renewable energy space, supply chain management, and construction. The company hopes to complete the acquisition by end of this month, which will provide a strong impetus to the company's growth, as well as provide access to Middle East and North American energy markets. During the quarter for the third consecutive year, the company was awarded the Diamond Supplier Award by Bombardier for year 2022. This recognition is a testament to our commitment to excellence, innovation, and delivering to the highest standards of customer satisfaction. The company also signed a strategic partnership with Cantier, a Singapore-based powerhouse in manufacturing execution systems, or MES, with specialization in Industry 4.0 integration. By integrating Cantia's innovative MES 4.0 with our engineering and technology solutions, we are poised to transform the core of industrial manufacturing by enhancing workflows and creating manufacturing excellence with real-time insights and seamless digital integration. During this quarter, we completed the acquisition of Ad Solutions Germany and have commenced consolidating the financial results of Ad Solutions from 1st of August this year. With this acquisition, the company has acquired niche automotive capabilities and vendor codes of large German OEMs and Tier 1s, which will fuel the company's expansion in the automotive sector. Axis Cadis has a significant presence in the UK, and in the month of October, we opened an engineering design center in Saltney, UK. The newly established facility strength is in carefully selected strategic location, which is designed to serve the long-term requirements of the aerospace industry and various promising business opportunities in the region. In terms of financial highlights, the company in Q2 posted consolidated revenues of INR 252 crores, its highest ever quarterly revenue, growing by 30% from 194 crores in Q2 of last year. In USD terms, the company recorded revenues of $30.6 million, growing by 26% from $24.3 million recorded in Q2 of last year. In the first half of the year, the company recorded revenues of 465 crores, growing by 23% from INR 376 crores recorded in the same period of previous year. Similarly, in USD terms, the company recorded revenues of $56.8 million, growing by 19% from $47.9 million recorded in H1 of last year. The company recorded a consolidated EBITDA of 36 crores in Q2 FY24, an EBITDA margin of 14.28. The consolidated EBITDA for H1 FY24 stands at 68.9 crores at an EBITDA margin of 14.81. The company has been able to maintain its EBITDA with marginal decline in EBITDA margins despite annual increments. We also had a few plant closures with some of our major customers, and we have also added resources who will get billed in Q3. So that's an investment that we made in Q2. We continue to make significant investments to build our digital capabilities, which is critical to de-risk our business and improve our margin profile, although it compromises our short-term margins. All our verticals have shown double-digit growth year-on-year. The combined share of revenue of automotive and energy in Q2 is 13.1, which grew from 6.6% in the same period of last year. Revenue from automotive vertical almost tripled, while the energy vertical grew by 22%. Going forward, automotive and energy verticals will constitute significant portions of our revenue with synergies from Ad Solutions and Epogen. Our aerospace business has continued its growth momentum and is growing continuously for the last 11 quarters and grew by 21.6% year-on-year. The growth is a result of a long-term contract with expanded scope with our strategic customer. We are leveraging our aerospace skills to support Mistral customers in various areas. The products and solutions business, representing a defense vertical, grew by 47% over the previous year, recording revenues of 73 crores, contributing 29% of our total revenue, of which revenues from Mistral Defense grew by 82% year-on-year. To conclude, while the current geopolitical and macroeconomic headwinds do pose a challenge for the industry as a whole, we are confident that our efforts at de-risking the business will stand us in good stead for the balance of the year and thereafter, and we will continue to report improved financial performance in the coming quarters. I thank you for your continued support and encouragement. I will now request Muju to give an update on the Mistral business.
Thank you, Arun. Wishing you all a very happy Diwali. I am delighted to report the FY24 Q2 performance of Mistral Solutions. Mistral is a cutting-edge technology design and system engineering company delivering technology solutions in product engineering, aerospace, defense, and homeland security to marquee global clients, Ministry of Defense, DRDO, and Defense PSC for over 26 years. Mistral recorded a revenue growth of 50% year-on-year in Q2 of FY24, up from 63 crores to INR 94 crores. We have growth both in our professional services engineering business and defense business. Of the 94 crores of revenue, 42 crores was from PES business and 52 crores from defense business. For H1 of FY24, Mistral recorded a revenue of 166 crores, growing by 41% from 118 crores recorded in the previous financial year. The defense order pipeline remains strong. Many of our earlier designed and developed prototype systems for various defense programs have been tested and qualified and now enter the production phase. In Q2 of FY24, our revenue from production was 33 crores as compared to 15 crores in Q1 of FY24. Our defense production will continue to have a very healthy growth in the coming years. We are one of the first companies to have designed a non-Chinese drone controller in partnership with Qualcomm. This is now mandated by many governments globally for drones. This module was showcased at the UAV Drone Expo at Las Vegas in August of 2023, and we see high interest in this product. The Indian government is promoting Make in India in defense, electronics, and semiconductor industry through multiple initiatives and policies, which will open new opportunities for Mistral. We continue to develop state-of-the-art defense technologies in collaboration with DRDO and through our internal R&D initiatives. In coming quarters, we continue to expect healthy revenues and profitability growth in both domestic and international markets. Mistral and Axis Cadence are perfectly positioned to leverage and synergize each other's capabilities to deliver quantum value to our customers, investors, and stakeholders. Now I invite our Group CFO, Mr. Shashidhar, for an overview of the financial results.
Thank you, Muju. Good evening to everyone. As has been detailed by Arun and Muju, our business performance, both in terms of revenue and profitability, has shown robust growth in Q2 of FY24 and H1 of FY24, bolstered by our foray into new verticals such as automotive and energy, apart from our traditional verticals of aerospace, heavy engineering and defense. As reported by Arun, the company achieved consolidated revenue of INR 252 crores in Q2 of FY24, growing by 18% quarter on quarter and 30% year on year. Our constant dollar growth was at 17% and 27% quarter on quarter and year on year, respectively. At a revenue of INR 465 crores in H1 of FY24, Axis Cadence grew by 23% year on year and at 19% at constant dollar. We have seen year-on-year double-digit growth in all verticals except heavy engineering. The company is currently having robust order book to deliver on the revenue objectives for FY24. The company has started consolidating the revenue of Ad Solutions Germany with effect from 1st of August. In the 2 months up to September, Ad Solutions contributed about 1.4 million or INR 12 crores to a consolidated revenue. Revenue share from new customers is growing at a rapid pace. Revenue from the top 5 new customers was at INR 26 crores in H1 of FY24 as compared to INR 4 crores in H1 FY23, growing by more than 6 times. Revenue from the top 5 existing customers grew at 22% from INR 233 crores to INR 284 crores during the same period. Revenue from new customers contributed to 5% of revenue H1 FY24 as compared to 1% in the same period of previous year. While the company's EBITDA margin was marginally impacted during the quarter and half year due to increment digital investments, resources on the bench and plant closure in customer sites, the company is able to maintain the last 12 months EBITDA margin at 15.8%. The consolidated PAT in Q2 of FY24 stands at INR 11 crores. The employee cost in Q2 of FY24 at INR 123 crores has gone up by INR 15 crores quarter on quarter, mainly due to annual increment impact of INR 6 crores, new hiring including senior leadership hiring impacting INR 1.2 crores and employee cost of Ad Solutions, which we started consolidating from 1st of August, which has impacted by about 8 crores. The company's finance cost, mostly due to debt funding of Mistral acquisition, was at INR 31.75 crores as against 10.25 crores in the same period of previous year. As communicated in Q1 of FY24, the company estimates a finance cost of INR 12 crores per quarter from Q2 of FY24. This cost considers the beneficial impact of INR 2 crores per quarter with respect to refinancing of acquisition debt, which was completed in Q1 of FY24. The Board of Directors at the meeting held on 8 November approved raising of fresh equity to pay down the debt and for growth capital. The company will endeavor to close the capital raise during the course of the financial year FY24. To conclude, the company will continue to focus on growth and profitability from existing and new verticals and from existing and new customers, and we are confident of a sustainable and de-risked future for the company. I conclude by wishing you all a happy and prosperous Diwali and thank each one of our stakeholders for being with us in this journey. We'll open the floor for questions. Hello.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from Srinash Krishnan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations, team, you know, on such a strong performance in a challenging environment. My first question, you know, is on Mistral. You know, there are a lot of articles, reports that suggest that the semiconductor space is going through a quite, you know, challenging phase now. But despite that, Mistral has done really well during the quarter. So I wanted to understand what is driving this growth in Mistral. What is the, you know, how is the performance been in the project engineering space and also in the defense space? And as it has been guided in the past, the production, the defense has considerably picked up. So it's, I think it is close to about 35 to 40 crores in the first half. So what is again driving the production here, and would it, you know, translate to higher margins in second half, since you have mentioned that production faces superior margins compared to the R&D phase?
Yeah, Srinath, we have a legacy of having built design wins for the last 25 years, and these design wins which we have built, tested and qualified on field are getting into production phase today. Yeah? So the systems which we had done about 10 years back are getting into production. So this is one something which will continuously give us revenue moving forward. At the same time, there are many initiatives which DRDO has taken wherein a lot of things are being outsourced. So this also will drive growth. This growth will be on the professional services of defense business, which in turn will result in production revenue moving forward. So today's growth is primarily because of the existing defense contracts which we have done in the past, and also we have signed up with about two global clients wherein we are doing some high-end system integration for them. So this has resulted in higher revenues.
Got it. So what is the performance of the PES space in the first half compared to last year, and also, you know, is the kind of the worst over that can we expect to pick up in second half?
You're talking about professional services business?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The PS business has grown when compared to the last financial year by...
You see, the company's PS business for the Q2 of the current financial year was at 41.59 crores, and it grew by 34% from 30.83 crores as what was recorded in the previous year.
And for the next half of the year, we will see probably a marginal growth in PS business because there are certain things which have slowed down, especially in the production business. Our NRE business continues to be strong. The production business has slowed down because of overstocking of components which people have done during 2022. So we see this improvement happening probably in the second half of next financial year. But our NRE business will continue to grow.
Yes. If you could speak about the product phase there, like, you know, you had guided and that is also coming through in the first half. You've seen a strong growth in production. What is driving the production, you know, is it any specific projects? Or maybe if you could just give a brief idea of how that would help in metrics of the business.
See, when I'm talking production here I'm talking about pure play non-defense production. So this is the production orders which we do for semiconductor companies, and we build evaluation modules and some of the boards which are shipped out in the market as a joint development between Mistral TI, Mistral Qualcomm, and like those. So these have gone through a slowdown because of overstocking in the past. In the last financial year, because of shortage of components, there was a panic buying from everybody. So that resulted in higher revenues for us in the last financial year, and now the stocks are still available with the OEMs. So this is the reason why this is a slowdown in production, and we foresee this correction to happen in the next 2 quarters. And in terms of defense, the production will continue to grow because most of our design wins which we had in the past are getting to production phase, and you will see in the next 2 quarters our order book getting bigger and bigger.
Great. Congratulations. Good luck. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Srinath.
The next question comes from Jyoti Singh with Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. And congratulations on the good set of top-line numbers. And secondly, Arun sir, congratulations completing 2 years in excess cash. And my question is on the segment side, that could you please provide more information about the performance of the HEG, which is has been underperforming for several quarters, except other segment which is doing which are doing better.
Yeah, thanks, Jyoti. Firstly, happy Diwali to you. I'll request Sashi to just chip in specifically with regards to the heavy engineering sector.
Yeah, so basically, you're right there. You know, all other verticals have grown substantially for the quarter as well as for the half year. But with respect to heavy engineering, there was a flattish growth for the quarter and a bit of marginal decline as in the first half of the year. The reason for the decline is basically the macroeconomic factors which impacted the heavy engineering industry, and it is yet to recover from that. But what we are actually doing now is utilizing our digital capabilities, and we are deploying our digital engineering skills, and we have already started taking projects with respect to digital analytics and manufacturing engineering, which we hope will kind of scale up, and we'll be able to kind of come to control in terms of the heavy engineering vertical in the coming year.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, just a qualitative commentary is that what we're also looking at is how we can leverage more of the Mistral capabilities in the embedded space to take to our heavy engineering customers, because we do see that there is a lot of opportunity there. The second thing is that now with the acquisition of Ad Solutions, we have strong automotive capability in the passenger segment and the commercial segment. And heavy engineering is pretty much the off-highway transportation sector. So we will also be exploring synergies between what Ad Solution does in Germany with some of their OEMs and tier ones to what we can do in heavy engineering. So I think the overall picture is, of course, that we are fully committed to heavy engineering as a vertical for Axis Cadis. And we're looking at multiple ways of stimulating growth, either through digital or through embedded, or through capabilities that we have acquired inorganically. So this is the plan that we have in place. And of course, the macroeconomic situation would possibly improve going forward, and that would also help us recover the segment.
Okay, thank you, sir. And sir, additionally, I'd like to inquire about the finance cost, which was there in this quarter associated with the Mistral acquisition. So are these costs expected to continue in the coming quarter?
Yeah, so if you look at it, last quarter there was some one-time, prepayment charges and all of that which we had to incur. As a result of which, you'd see that in FY of quarter one of FY24, our finance cost was 20 crores. It's already moderated to 11 crores because those one-time charges are not there. So going forward in the coming quarters, our finance cost will be around 11 to 12 crores, which in fact takes into consideration the cost saving as what we're having for the refinancing which we did for the NCDs which we had raised for the Mistral acquisition.
Okay, thank you, sir. And after considering that all other segment and geography wise, we are performing well. So could you guide regarding margin and top line performance for the coming years and quarter? Because earlier we were not guiding about it.
Yeah, so Jyoti, we still don't guide for future performance, but all I can say is that if you look at our other verticals, which is, so we've spoken about Mistral in the previous question, both on production as well as the PES part as well as defense, we spoke about heavy engineering. If you look at aerospace, that is continuing to be a very strong vertical for us. We continue to grow very strongly with our strategic clients, and if anything, we're entering into more new areas. We continue to bid for new projects. So that will definitely be a strong growth area for us. Automotive, we expect, will also be strong, both from the client roster that we have within Axis Cadis, but also through Ad Solutions. We have a strong pipeline in place, and we can do much more. So that will be a good growth driver for us. Same thing with energy. Again, we are very bullish about energy because we are seeing that in the next few years, both on the fossil fuels as well as the renewable space, there is going to be a lot of investment. And there will be a lot of construction, both on the refinery side in oil and gas, as well as on carbon capture and sulfur capture and tail gas capture. And with the acquisition that we hope to complete of EPCOgen, they have very strong product engineering, EPC kind of skills. For us also, we don't do much in the Middle East. So we are very excited that a lot of clients that will come in with EPCOgen are Middle East clients, and obviously that's the hotbed of the energy sector. So we see energy also to be a strong growth driver for us. So I think all in all, overall, we are seeing strong growth segment going through. We don't guide for top line as well as margins, but of course, like I said, we expect good growth. So please do watch us every quarter as we talk through the earnings call.
Okay, thank you, sir, and happy Diwali to all.
Next question comes from Inder Soni with RCG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, happy Diwali and congratulations on a very strong set of growth numbers. Question about Ad Solutions. You talked about, in automotive, it's difficult to get into customers unless you have an existing relationship. But through this acquisition, it looks like you have some of the best OEMs, right? I'm looking at the chart from the company that says they have Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Volkswagen, Alstom, many big companies. So I'm not asking specifically about any of these big companies, but if you are already in one of these companies, does that give you the opportunity to grow in other areas within this company? How does that help? I'm trying to understand, are you a certified vendor because of this acquisition in all these companies? Because there's a list of about 20 big companies on their chart.
Yeah, Inder, thanks a lot for your question. Happy Diwali to you as well. You're absolutely right. With Ad Solutions, the reason that we acquired Ad Solutions is that if you look at the German automotive ecosystem, they have a very stable vendor ecosystem. And it's really difficult to break in. And, the approach that we've taken is to acquire a company who already has a supplier code. And actually, this is something some of our peers have done as well. So now with this, we have supplier codes in obviously the brands you mentioned. So, Volkswagen is a big name. That's a big customer for us. We have vendor codes with Mercedes-Benz, BMW. We have vendor codes with tier ones like Aptiv, Leonia, Bosch, Sumitomo. So we feel that now we can firstly offer the offshore services that, Ad Solutions has not been able to offer to these customers, because one of the reasons why Ad Solutions wanted to come together with us is because they see a lot of growth potential, but they didn't have the financial muscle, so to speak, to fuel the growth. Secondly, a lot of customers were asking them about what offshore capabilities they had, and that is something that they lacked. So now both of these are aspects that we can talk about. And of course, what we will be doing is that, we also have embedded capabilities, which, comes through Mistral. Excuse me. So we have software testing, we have wiring harness capabilities which come in from Ad Solutions, we have mechanical engineering capabilities which comes in from Axis Cadis, we have embedded capabilities coming in from Mistral, and we have digital capabilities which come in from Axis Cadis. So I would say, Inder, that now we are in a position to really harness the supplier code that we have, go into new areas, do bigger projects, and really look at how we can run campaigns to leverage some of the other suppliers where we have not had a big base so far. So we are very optimistic about this, and we feel that, you know, for a company like ours, this is the right strategy going forward, because, you know, the other option would have been to sort of hire sales folks, organically look at hunting new logos, and like I said, with the German ecosystem, it's virtually impossible to get in. But from a time perspective, that would be a 1 year, 1.5 year kind of exercise. But here, very quickly, we have strategic clients who get added to us. So now, in addition to our two big strategic clients, we have a third big automotive German European strategic clients. And then, of course, we have the ability now to do much more from account mining and a new capability perspective.
Great. And does this, your upcoming acquisition in the energy space, can you talk a little bit more about that? So what kind of work do they do? And what job? Is it mainly Middle East? Can you give us some more color?
Yeah, absolutely. So these guys are also in the engineering space. So they work on the EPC part of energy. So if you look at AccessCater's capabilities, we have clients both on the renewable space as well as on the fossil fuel, oil and gas space. Ecogen does a lot of work on the oil and gas as well as renewables again. So for example, we are working on liquid nitrogen batteries. We're looking at hydrogen batteries where they do some work. They're also working with some large oil majors as well as suppliers to oil majors, where they look at construction activities. And, you know, if you follow the whole energy space, there's a lot of construction happening, a lot of carbon capture and sulfur. So when you have an oil field, you build out refineries, but you also build out carbon capture, sulfur capture plants, so that you can, you know, cater to the environmental considerations. So the whole project management, the whole capability, the whole design, inventory management, product management, that's the kind of skills that these guys have. And these are typically long cycle projects. So once a project starts, it usually lasts for 12 months to 18 months, because that's the time it takes to stand up something of this scale. And we are very excited about it, because we feel that at least for the next 10 to 15 years, this will be a very vibrant space. Of course, there is a move towards electrification and all of that. But we do feel that, you know, especially with what's happening in the Middle East, you know, there will be any energy security issues. We saw with Ukraine that there were energy security issues in Europe. So we feel that the energy agenda is going to be very, very prominent for most countries and most companies. And therefore, this will attain a lot of prominence. So that's why we want to sort of have a foothold quickly and look at how we sort of grow the space.
Great. And your employee costs have gone up because you said you've hired some senior people in advance of demand. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that was one of the biggest increases in costs.
Yeah. So I think, like you've been saying, you know, we obviously need to augment the team. So we're looking at augmenting the team from sales, which we started doing in the past. We're augmenting the team with senior delivery people. Now we're looking also at upskilling our corporate resources. So we have hired a chief risk officer, we hired a controller, we hired a new CHRO, a new chief human resources head. So these are obviously senior positions, and, you know, we need to spread it out over quarters, because, you know, we can't do it all at one shot. So we have a plan in place, and we sort of put it into our budget in terms of how we want to go ahead with it. So that's point number one. Point number two is that, you know, we are also, like I said, seeing strong growth from aerospace, from automotive, etc. And there are some big projects where we need to do a ramp up. And our focus now is, given the, you know, the pyramid mix that we want to achieve, we are looking at hiring a lot of people who are either fresh from college or who are in the 0 to 5, 5 to 7 year experience. And with those kind of people, we need to sort of put them through a 6 month training, and then they are sort of in a position to get billable. So we have had to prepare, you know, for some ramp up activity, which will happen in Q3. So we had to sort of, you know, absorb those costs in Q2, which we feel are, you know, the right things to do. And I think one of the things we want to do is obviously balance the profitability with the growth aspect, because we also want to make sure that as we grow, we keep investing in keeping an eye on the future in terms of, you know, how the growth should come. And I think for us, getting that wallet share quickly is important. And, you know, that's where we're looking at, you know, adding manpower, both from a senior as well as from a delivery and a technical perspective.
Yeah. Another area of your cost that went up was the materials at Mistral. So that means that you are now moving more into the manufacturing phase, right? Can you talk a little bit about this? You talked last quarter, Sam, where you said you first do the design and then you get into manufacturing. So how big are some of these projects? How long do they last? Just give us some color. I'm not looking for anything confidential, but just, you know, at a high level, what does manufacturing for Star mean?
See, I can give you a couple of examples here. See, some of my radar programs, we are starting a radar production program probably by the third quarter end, we will start the production process. The billing will happen probably Q4 or Q1 of next financial year. So this is a project which will go on for approximately 2 years, with delivery staggered over a window of every 3-4 months. We roll out to one number of radar for the customer. Similarly, if you look at our light combat aircraft program, we have a design win wherein the production cycle will it already started. We are producing boats for them, but this production cycle will happen for the next 10 years plus. So different cycles.
Wow, so up to 10 years, you're saying?
Whatever we designed in today will never be changed. The same product will go in year on year, as long as the aircraft is produced. So as you know, there are 120 aircraft which are being produced now, and also there is an order for 100 more to be produced in the short term. So the order yet to come from the government, but the government has already promised HAL that order is coming. So these production cycles will go for 10 years plus. With the same design and the same product which we have today, so which means that we do not have to invest on manpower, we do not have to invest on a new design. Whatever we have today will be produced again and again, so obviously your margins will be taken care of.
Great. And last question from my side. In heavy engineering, we've talked about digitizing and hiring people for that. So what do we mean by that? Can you give us some color on what you mean by digitizing in heavy engineering?
Yes, so Indra, if you look at where heavy engineering is moving, one is that obviously like everything else in transportation, there is a move towards electrification. So that obviously brings in new component designs and new ways of building the construction equipment. That's point number one. Point number two is if you look at heavy engineering, there is already, if you concept like autonomous driving are already present. So if you look at say large mines in Australia or if you look at chemical plants, you would have a lot of these machines that are running autonomously and they run for 24/7, you know, they run round the clock. And they're typically, there's a lot of digital solutions by which, you know, they are monitored. There are digital twins in case there's a breakdown, you know, if you need to fix a problem, etc. And also, you know, the fleet upkeep is something which is very important. So, you know, inventory management, remote control of these, remote management of these machines in these kind of mines, as well as digital twins to sort of optimize them, as well as, you know, bring them back in case of any breakdowns, in case of any enhancements. That's where, you know, we feel that digital will play a big role. And if you look at heavy engineering, unlike automotive, it is, you know, you don't really design the machine keeping a passenger in mind. It's designed keeping in mind how long this equipment can work, how hardy it is, and how much you can sweat the asset. So the kind of digital use cases that you have in this industry are completely different from automotive, where automotive is more customer-centric and passenger-centric. Whereas here it is more maintenance-centric, more about optimizing inventory, more about upkeep of the fleet, and more about maintenance schedules.
Great. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, please limit yourself to 2 questions per time. The next question comes from Funky Chow with Tenero Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So, actually, I wanted to understand more on the defense order pipeline. So, we used to tell that there was a 2,000 to 3,000 crore order pipeline. So what is the situation currently? Have you participated in any big tenders? How is the order book visibility looking there?
See, as on date, while we are talking today, the order pipeline in Mistral is currently outstanding at about 350 crores of unexecuted orders. And I am...
These are like confirmed orders of 350 crores, right?
350 crores of orders in hand with Mistral.
Okay.
Also includes a few orders from non-defense business also, but majorly from defense. And We have already negotiated some couple of contracts with BEL and HAL for some of the production numbers which are due to us, and we expect these orders to come in Q3. So those will be to the upward tune of about 100 crores plus of new orders which will come in, which are pure play production.
What are the tentative timelines for these orders?
I'm talking
as in the delivery timeline.
Delivery timeline will be spread over a window of 18 to 24 months.
Okay. Sir, with regards to drones, I wanted to understand that there are already players who are supplying drones to, say, Indian Army and all. So, what are the chances of our R&D getting converted into confirmed orders? And along with that, have we received any fresh inflow of orders for our anti-drone systems?
We have not received additional orders at this point of time. I'm talking about drones alone, not anti-drones right now. And in terms of drones, yes, we are still in the R&D phase. We are doing some field trials. Last week we had some trials in some major locations up north. So we are fixing the issues which were reported on field, and I expect this product to be available and ready for us by the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think just to add on the you know, there is a follow-on order that we have been shortlisted for. It is quite a large order for about 200 systems of anti-drone, and we have there's a party of two, there's us and there's one other party who's been shortlisted. So we're going through the process on that, and you know, as it goes through, we will obviously move towards winning it and executing it.
Okay. So my broader question was that we are spending our time and effort on R&D, but what are the chances that these R&D efforts get converted into order? Because drones is already a crowded market, if I am not wrong.
Yeah, so what we are looking at is very specific applications. So we are not looking at logistics drones or agriculture drones or, you know, those kind of use cases. For us, it's very specific when it comes to defense uses. So from a drones perspective, we are looking at, you know, high altitude, heavy payload drones. And, you know, that's exactly what the Indian Armed Forces need because of the kind of borders that we share with our neighbors, where there is a need for drones which can fly at high altitudes in thin air and which can also lift heavy payload. So those are the specific use cases that we are working on. And we actually have a prototype in place, which we are in the process of testing and which we are showcasing to the armed forces. So we are very focused on that, and we believe that especially with everything that's going on around the world, with heightened need for defense supplies and R&D in defense, that's absolutely the best thing to do, because we don't want to spread ourselves too thin. We are very, very sharply focused just on defense use cases. And we firmly believe that, you know, if you look at the drone industry, the defense expenditure on drones will far outweigh any other commercial kind of expenditure that will happen on drones, because the commercial drones are more commodity drones, whereas the defense drones are more specialized and they are custom made and they are suited for the terrain and for every country's specific purposes. So that is a focus area, and you know, we believe that that will in the future be a very strategic move for us.
Okay. The last question from my side is, reading that Airbus has been increasing its presence in India quite a bit. They've recently established a plan to establish MRO facilities also. They've signed up few suppliers also. So do we see our scope of work increasing for Airbus in near time?
Yeah, so if you look at what we do for Airbus, we work across a spectrum of activities. So we work on aerostructures, fuselage, wing kind of design, which is like a horizontal service which is done across multiple countries in Europe. We have started work on manufacturing engineering, which is supporting plants. And with Airbus footprint increasing in India, as you know, they have a joint venture with Tata to manufacture the C-295 military transport aircraft. In addition to that, you know, with the large orders that Air India and Indigo have landed with Airbus, they will be looking at MRO partnerships. So the manufacturing, engineering, plant support kind of work that we do will be something which is very relevant to India, but also globally. Because really, if you look at the order book that Airbus has, it's very strong and it's all across the world. And the third aspect, of course, again, which is very relevant, is what we call as repair, or which is customer service, which is when an airline operator flies an Airbus plane, and if there's an issue with, you know, any kind of incident like a bird hit or corrosion or anything like that, you know, there are SLAs on which Airbus has to sort of, you know, turn it around and that's where we are present. So that's something we do round the clock, 24 hours from India, Europe, Wichita in the US. And as the number of aircraft in the skies increases, the more customer service initiatives will come through. So I think we have a really nice spread, and there's a new area that we're working on as well, again on customer services, which is related to the repair work that I mentioned. So I think we are strongly poised, and I think given that Airbus is doing well, you know, I think it has a good knock-on effect, and they're extremely happy with us as a supplier. So I think we are certainly bearing the fruits of the investments we've made and the good deliveries that we've done for them.
Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Sarab Sadwani with Sasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. I wanted to understand the project that Ad Solutions is doing. So specifically, what is the timeline of the products that Ad Solution is working on? Are they the upgrades of the current versions, or are they the EVs that would come later in the decade?
Yes, so Ad Solutions has capabilities broadly in two areas. One is the whole software testing area, and the second is wiring harness. And if you look at it, they work across the passenger and commercial fleet for the large German OEM. So these, as you know, are projects which, are long-term projects, and especially software testing is a business which is growing, because if you look at the software-defined vehicle, there's more and more of a move towards software in the vehicle, and of course the architecture of the vehicle is changing as well. Until now, most of the cars had many ECUs, and there used to be application stacks on top of that, but with the software-defined vehicle, it's moving to more computing, which is based, so there are a couple of computers in the car, and then most of the software and applications are loaded on that. And what we do through Ad Solutions is testing of a lot of the infotainment and the vehicle cockpit systems. And this is where a lot of innovation is happening, because if you look at the passenger, they're looking at more connectivity, they're looking at more ADAS features, they're looking at richer options for streaming or entertainment or video. And this is the kind of service that we provide. So we are in the right spot in the growth area. And of course, wiring harness is something which is very critical, because again, with the move towards EV, you know, the cabling and the architecture of how you do wiring harness, the high voltage engineering, you know, you have needs for high capacity chargers. And, that is exactly what Ad Solutions does. So both of those are areas which are exactly in the direction in which the client is investing. So if you look at the client, they are moving towards electric vehicle platforms, and they're moving towards more connected and more ADAS feature-rich cars and software-defined vehicles. So these are the two areas that we're present in. We actually don't do much of mechanical through ad, but that's something that we will definitely not want to rule out, because AccessCADIS does a lot of mechanical engineering. So like I said in one of the previous questions, because we have supplier codes, we will definitely also look at, expanding mechanical, because that's our bread and butter. But our focus will be on the embedded and the digital and the software side as we go through.
So these products are going, like, these projects and these clients are going to stay long term, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Ad Solutions has been in existence for 20 years, and they have very strong relationships with these clients. They have had projects running for the last 20 years, and after the acquisition, I had an opportunity to visit some of these clients along with them, and the relations are super strong. So we do expect that there will be not just stay, but we expect it to grow. The whole objective is actually to, put our combined might together and grow. And like I said, one of the things is they're actually not able to service some requests because of the fact that they don't have the ability to invest in people. So we will also be looking at whatever money is left on the table to sort of expand it. So yes, absolutely, these are strong relationships which will continue for the long term.
And secondly, on the material cost that have increased this quarter, so this was related to Mistral production, Mistral going into some production contracts.
The cost is commensurate with the production orders which was executed by Mistral. And if you look at it, out of the 94 crores as what was recorded as defense revenues for the half year, about 50% of that is material cost. So it's commensurate with the production orders of what has been executed by Mistral.
Okay. So these costs don't have... That's it.
The next question comes from Nirali Gopani with Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just a clarification on the fundraise. This is a significant amount, so if you can just elaborate, you know, what are we going to use this fund for, any further inorganic acquisitions or?
Yeah. I think the first question you asked is the best kind of question I like to answer, where all the answers have been provided. But, yeah, just in terms of fundraise, as you know, we have, you know, our board has approved that we can raise funds up to 500 crores. So the objective is twofold. One is that we will look at writing off debt that we have acquired, you know, because of some of the acquisitions. And the second part, of course, is for growth capital. We believe that, you know, the long-term story for the company is strong, and we do need to invest, hire more people, invest in R&D, build out products. And actually, in digital, where we are making a lot of investments, we're also looking at how we can develop our own IP so that, you know, our revenues can be accelerated and not just sequential based on client revenues. So these are the two broad areas in which we will deploy the money that, you know, we will get. Anything?
Just to clarify, the 500 crores as what has been notified to the stock exchange is only an enabling resolution which has been passed by the board of directors. It is not to say that we'll be raising 500 crores. And as Arun explained, our debt on the books is around 210 crores in terms of long term, as what we raise for Mistral acquisition. And we are looking at rising anywhere between perhaps 150 to 200 crores and not really 500 crores.
Okay, perfect. And just one last clarification. So when we say that the cost of material consumed is largely related to Mistral related production, so as the production there goes up, do we see this kind of gross margins or we can see further improvement there?
Yeah, so just to answer that, you know, broadly for us, if you look at a defense win, it comprises of two parts. One is the R&D part, where we come out with a product and then get it certified. And the second part is the production part. So the R&D part is where we make investments and our margins are low because we are really, you know, innovating and doing R&D there. But when it comes to production, because the part has been certified and because it will only be procured from Mistral, the margins are much higher. And also what happens is because, like Muju explained, some of these production orders can span over 10 years. So what we also need to do is that we need to stack or stock products or components which could become obsolete, because, you know, it's possible that, you know, when we did the design, these were, you know, cutting edge technology, but over the next 10 years they could become obsolete, and, you know, it's possible that the OEM or the manufacturer stopped manufacturing them. So we make an assessment of that. So when we see the production over the next 5 to 10 years, we also do proactively stock some components which we believe could be obsolete, so that we are in a position to sort of deliver that. So the material cost, so as we see production revenues going up, you will also see material costs going up, because that's when we procure the materials and that finally becomes a finished product.
Just to give you a flavor on numbers, for the half year, the defense revenues was 94 crores, of which the production orders as what was executed by Mistral for the first half year was 48.65 crores, and they recorded an EBITDA of 31% on that.
Okay. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, for all participants to get an opportunity to ask, limit yourself to two questions. The next question comes from Deepak Purar with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
Yep, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, just a clarification first. I mean, there was some margin impact that you maintained. I think you mentioned in second quarter due to some digital investment or higher cost, I think, somewhere. So can you quantify the impact? What was the impact there?
You see, we have built a, you know, very significant digital team, which we would like to call it as an investment. And today we have a 50-member digital team, you know, which is working on various projects. They also will be working on billable projects, but at the moment, this 50-member digital team, you know, costs us around, you know, a crore a month. So the quarterly impact of that is around 3 crores, which is straight away, you know, charged into the P&L, and we are not capitalizing it as intangibles.
Okay, fair enough. So this will continue, right? I mean, as we go forward.
Yeah. So, but only that, you know, it will not remain as a cost. It will remain, it will kind of accrue to us in terms of, I would say, the automation projects as what we execute, or the billable projects as what we take with our customers, it will not remain as a cost, but it will lead its own margins and it will become a profit center of its own.
Okay, so I mean, can you throw some light on the what's the margin aspirations we are looking at? I mean, going forward, currently we are at about EBITDA margin of maybe close to 15%. Last quarter it was close to 16%. So in the near term and in the medium term, what sort of aspiration we are looking at in terms of margins?
Yeah, so we had said that in the next 3 financial years we want to get to the industry best of about 18%. And this is a journey that we are on, and of course, you know, for us, I think a big determination of margin is also the mix of R&D versus production that happens in a particular quarter. But just to answer your question, you know, 2 years back, I think we were in the 12% range. We are now at the 15% range. In the next 2 to 3 financial years, we want to get to 18%. But like I said, it's a journey. And we won't get there, you know, just a flick of a switch, but it will happen through some really
incredible actions. That is by FY26, right? That's what we are targeting.
Yeah.
3 years
yeah.
From FY23 base.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes.
Fair enough. And given the, traction we are seeing in all the segments we are in, I mean, aerospace, automotive, even the defense sector, I think all this space are seeing a lot of traction and even heavy engineering. So, I mean, the growth that we have been doing, if you have to see last 2-3 years, we are growing in the range of maybe what 20% plus CAGR kind of a growth. I mean, is that something that we would aspire as we go forward in terms of maintaining such kind of a growth? Some subjective comment would be helpful.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't want to comment on the exact percentage, but you know, what we will definitely aspire to is to better industry growth rates, and we will continue to sort of look at that kind of a growth. And we also believe that we are in a phase where, and there are two ways you can look at top line growth and margin growth.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more customers you have, the bigger wallet share you have, the more strategic customers you have, the ability to improve margins is much better. Whereas on the converse, if one were to sort of focus on margin versus growth, then the wallet share and the growth sort of, gets a little bit muted. So our approach has obviously been to balance both of them. But we also believe that if we can increase the number of strategic clients and therefore, you know, grow the business, then, you know, once we acquire a new logo, then through account mining initiatives, we will be able to drive better productivity, better digital initiatives and improve the margin. So we're looking at top line leading the bottom line growth, purely because, you know, the more accounts we have, the more we can mine them and the better the margins can be. So, but to answer your question, we're looking at, you know, bettering industry growth rates. I'll just leave it at that one. Please do follow us every quarter.
Which would be what range? I mean, industry growth rate, I mean, what is the industry growth rate currently?
Industry growth rate is anywhere in the 15 to 16% range.
Fair. That's quite helpful. And my final question is in terms of mix. I mean, how do we see the mix changing going forward? I mean, in various sectors?
Yeah, so if you look at it, we have 3 areas that we want to focus on. One is the mechanical engineering, which comes from Axis Cages.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the embedded, which comes from Mistral. And the third is digital, which we are organically growing through Axis Cages, Mistral, Ad Solutions, and hopefully Epcogen. So as we look at the business going forward, there are 2 things we want to look at. One is we want to increase the longer-term projects that we can work on. The second thing is we'd like to see the mix of embedded and digital go up, purely because of the fact that there's a lot of money that's being spent on these 2 areas, but also a lot of the thought leadership and the innovation that's happening is really happening on embedded and digital and not so much on the mechanical side. So our ambition is that whilst we grow, we want to increase the percentage contribution of embedded and digital, and that's where we're sort of investing, and these are areas which are very interesting and very exciting for our employees as well.
The next question comes from Manju Bashini with JM Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to the management team. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in the beginning of the call, I remember you talking about certain client closures that have happened in Q2 24. Can you please elaborate on that?
Client closures? You meant plant closures. So what has happened is that some of our strategic clients have had to shut their factories for an extended period in summer this year for a variety of reasons. Some of them had to do it because some of their suppliers were not able to come up with components, and you know those subsystems were needed to complete the product that they usually build The second reason is that in some of our clients who are growing at a very rapid rate, they have to shut the plant so that they can upgrade these plants so that they're much more productive and, you know, they're smart factory compliant and industry 4.0. So that had a billing days impact for us. So that's what I was indicating, that there are some plant closures which happened for more days than we anticipated in Q2.
Okay, so but this is a usual phenomenon, sir. I mean, it would have happened in the same time of last year as well. Generally, we hear about these plant shutdowns, etc., during the December quarter from rest of the IT companies. And in your case, I think it has happened a quarter prior. Is my understanding right?
So typically, it's a seasonal thing. So you have plant shutdowns in Europe, which happen both in the summer as well as during Christmas. So what has happened this year has been an extended shutdown. So we do anticipate plant shutdowns in Q2 as well as Q3. So Q3 during the Christmas and New Year break and Q2 during summer. But this year, like I said, because of some of our customers are on expansion spree, they had to sort of shut those plants down to upgrade them, which will result in larger volumes and more productivity for us going forward. So the good news is that a lot of the small revenue miss that we had in Q2 because of plant shutdowns will actually result in much more enhanced business as we go through the next quarters.
Sure. And are we quantifying this element, sir?
Yeah, so the revenue loss with respect to the shutdowns goes to about 4 crores for the quarter.
Got it. Thank you so much. And the other question is regarding the production production.
Sorry, we lost you. Hello.
The next question comes from Tushar Deepakai Bhavsar with Cognizance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on the grand performance, like at least on the revenue side. I understand the margins have gone down. But can you tell us, like, you know, that what is the headcount as of today and or this quarter, like, you know, for the company? And I wanted to know, like, you know, that the dilution is, but, like, you know, as I heard, like, you know, that 150 to 200 crores, which I think, like, you know, would be around 25 to 30 lakh shares. So that is around 7 to 8% of dilution, right, on the equity we can anticipate. So what will be the impact of that in the long run? And I did hear, like, you know, a quote that we will still have the 11 crore to 12 crore rupees financing charges. But if we raise the money and if we extinguish the debt, should we not see that, like, you know, 11 crore go to zero or like, you know, much lower number?
Yeah, you're right there. You know, so when I quoted the number of 11, 12 crores, it did not factor any, repayment from the capital raise which we are anticipating to do. And once we pay the debt down, yes, there's going to be an impact on the EPS and proportionate, impact on the share prices too. So the 11, 12 crores which I said is pre-raising of capital.
Correct. And like our employee strength, sir, like, you know, the number of employees that we have today, just to have a comparative, like, you know.
Yeah, so we are close to about 3,000, and in Q2 we added about
51 net.
Yeah, close to about 51, and of course, Ad Solutions got integrated as well, so that's another 100 employees in Germany. So you can say we are in the 3,000 range.
Okay, we are in 3,000 range. One more.
Thank you all very much. In the interest of time, that was the last question on today's call. I'd now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thank you for all the questions. We value the support that you have given us. And like I said, you know, we are very passionate about the future of the company. We believe we're in the right space. Some of the things that we talked about 2 years back about growing automotive and energy, you know, you have seen that we have made acquisitions, that business is growing. So we are seeing a strategy that we spoke about playing out nicely, and we are very optimistic about engineering going forward. And we'll obviously keep in touch with you with every earnings call that we have. So thanks a lot and wish everybody a very happy Diwali.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Axiscade Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you.